This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You and I have unfinished business.
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Get away from her, you...
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
At the movies on BFM 89.9.
I'm Noir Pagan, I'm PK Pagan, alongside Ian McNally. Siberia is one of those very strange movies. We can't quite figure out what it's supposed to be. Is it a romantic thriller? Is it a mafia flick? Is it a mood piece? I don't know. It's directed by Matthew Ross, who did the really great Frank and Lola with Michael Shannon.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Back in 2016. Very, very good film. It stars Keanu Reeves and Ana Ullaru. And
Molly Ringwald's in this for some reason.
For about 2 minutes via Skype.
Yeah.
It really is quite a pointless cameo.
Yeah.
Maybe she needs the money.
Yeah.
Or she's friends with someone.
But her appearance really is a metaphor for the whole movie when you think about it.
In that nothing works except maybe Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, but even Keanu Reeves isn't as most Keanu in this, I think.
No, I mean, he's always been something of a screen presence, even if he's in the most idiosyncratic projects.
Or even when his presence is the exact opposite and it's a gaping hole around which the rest of the film works. Well, The Matrix, like, the whole point of the Keanu character, and that is the audience can put themselves into Neo's shoes because he's a blank slate.
Oh, a complete blank slate. Everyone in those movies explains everything to Keanu all the time.
Yeah.
What is The Matrix? Let me tell you. What's going on here? Let me tell you. How does bullet time work? Anyway.
Whoa.
Sorry, I have issues with that movie. Yeah.
But this movie, he's no longer a blank slate, and he's really not a blank slate when he has the John Wick hair. You put him in a John Wick suit, and he's hanging out at a hotel with criminals at the beginning of your movie.
And then it doesn't go down the route you expect it to.
Then you go to Siberia.
Actually, nothing goes down the route you expect it to. Okay, so Keanu in this movie plays an American diamond merchant who finds himself in Russia embroiled in a case of missing blue diamonds, the best fakes anyone has ever seen, the mafia, a weird romantic run-in with a diner waitress.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't go where you think it's going to go because the guns only come out in the last 5 minutes.
And then nothing is really resolved.
Also, I'm not sure if he's supposed to be a dodgy diamond dealer or whether or not they're implying that the entire industry is dodgy to begin with and inherently so everyone's a little shifty.
Well, it just feels confused because you don't know if he's a diamond dealer or a major criminal to start with. Like, it does take its time to explain what he is and what he's doing.
He's got a pouch.
He's got his own private plane.
Yes, he's got his own private plane. Well, diamond merchants are kind of rich, so I figure.
Well, that's where the diamond merchant thing comes in. But then you're thinking, you don't know whether he's a criminal who knows what he's doing or he's a man in over his head. Both of which would be interesting movies, neither of which this is.
Because actually, all of these things would be interesting movies. If it was a romantic thriller set in Siberia, interesting film. Mafia, interesting film.
Yeah.
Diamond deal gone wrong, interesting film. This movie just becomes this gray mesh of everything.
Yeah.
And then it tries to do all of these poetic moments.
Yeah.
Which kind of fall flat, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's so confused. It doesn't even know what it's doing, which Keanu performance it wants. Like, at certain times, he's very chatty and he's explaining things that are going on, which is like, you know, that's needed for that scene. But in others, he's just doing the stoic standing there Keanu thing where he doesn't say anything. Like, where it's a normal human being would say, you're right, or you're wrong, or I'm sorry about that. And he just stands there and looks at the camera in that most Keanu way. And it's like, again, what is his character? What do you want from this actor? Because you're just seeming to throw things together and see what sticks. And what's sticking is slowly sliding down the wall and coming off the floor.
It's a very underwritten script.
Mm.
And I say underwritten in that I think it's trying to be something of a mood piece because there are all of these moments, like you said, when all of the other characters are talking and sometimes they're talking Russian. Keanu's character understands Russian, but he just reacts in that very silent way. He looks at the camera or he looks at the character, shrugs his shoulders, drinks some vodka, does something. There is very little verbiage, right?
But when there's a couple of funny jokes. Like, when he's talking to Molly Ringwald, like, have you been drinking? And he just says, copiously. Like, there's a couple of other little lines like that that are nice. And you're thinking, great, is this all building up to something?
Well, this is what this movie is, right? This but is then, one of those movies you're watching, the thing, and you're thinking, the twist is going
to
come.
Yeah, and then we get to the, I'll only refer to as Blood Brothers scene.
Yeah.
which feels like it comes from an Eli Roth kind of weird, like, what was the other Eli Roth movie Keanu did a while ago that everyone forgot about?
I've forgotten about it.
So there was one about, like, the girls come to look at knock at the house. So Keanu, when he's not doing these big, successful movies, he tends to choose movies with weird scenes. And the other one was, like, cheerleaders come to his house and he kind of lets them in and takes advantage of them. And then they come and, I think, torture him, right? And this one, I have to do air quotes every time. The Blood Brothers scene is like it's from a completely different weird snuff movie.
Also, that entire scene is orchestrated entirely by coincidence. That it would not have worked if a series of other coincidences didn't happen and these characters didn't end up in the same place.
I almost screamed at one of the characters to say no, or him just to say, how about you don't come along to the super skeevy ganglord place that I'm going to that I'm also like super in trouble with, because you'll obviously be used as leverage.
I've seen every other mafia movie.
Yeah, and then they do that, and then after that, she's still cool.
But the romantic interest and the romantic storyline also doesn't work, because there is no build-up. It's this weird, I'm not convinced that she's willing to sacrifice everything for him. And she reaches that point in very, very quick order.
Whereas he's just like a businessman traveling with a quick fling. It might work if he was 22.
Yes.
And maybe she was, I don't know, she's not much younger she can get. But if there were these, like, this idea of young hearts, you know, willing to throw it all away. But he's like a wife, a business, a private plane that only flies when it wants to, not when he wants to. He has a private driver who's completely useless. He has a partner who sets up everything in this movie and then is not in this movie. There's two major characters, Pyotr and Samonov, I think it is. Yes. He's another villain character who's not even in the
movie.
Who
are mentioned, who are name dropped.
Yeah.
But
like,
that's it.
They set things in motion and you don't even get to know who those are, which is a weird screenwriting thing to do.
I don't know why this movie made it to our screens. It feels like the kind of movie that was thrown in with a distribution package. Mm. Hey, if you want all these movies, take Siberia instead. It's got Keanu Reeves in it. People might think it's John Wick and go watch it.
Yeah.
Because that's what the trailer kind of implies. The trailer shows off too many of the action sequences that happen at the very end of the film.
Yeah, or the scene earlier where he's wearing a suit and picks up a gun, but then doesn't use that gun for another half an hour.
Yes, it's incredibly misleading in that sense, because obviously over the last few years you've seen Keanu as John Wick and you remember him as that.
Not only that,
the same facial hair and haircut.
That's the thing. And not only that, you've seen those behind the scenes videos of him doing the training for John Wick 2 where he is like the gun ninja. And in this he's like, you know, he picks up a gun and you can see instantly he's super familiar with it and you're still confused over this character. Is he a diamond dealing badass or is he a man out of his depth? Like, you know, like you're thinking, like, was it Frantic with Harrison Ford?
Yeah.
Running around Paris. That's a man out of his depth movie. Those are the kind of things, like, if you're going to do that, and it's a tense thriller. But then, you know, don't go drinking with the Russians and then get up in the morning and go shooting bears, especially when the guys that beat you. Like, there's a fight scene early on, and he has the upper hand for 30 seconds, and he has a cool upper hand for 30 seconds. It's not like he gets one lucky punch. He blocks three punches and then does something cool.
He knows what he's doing.
And then he doesn't. And then he lies in the snow for, like, half an hour. It's just messy.
It's messy. It's kind of really, really badly structured. It comes from an Oscar-nominated screenwriter, and apparently this was something of a passion project for Keanu Reeves. He's been developing it for 2 years before Matthew Ross came on board. So I don't know what this movie was supposed to be. Because
something must have gotten lost between page and screen.
It has to have. And also, what they were trying to set up, for me, that's the biggest question, right? Because when you're trying to tell a story, there has to be some sort of purpose.
Yeah.
Even if I don't like the purpose, at least if I know what the directorial vision was or the screenwriting vision was, I can appreciate it for that,
even if
it doesn't work for me.
The message is this one is never partner with Russians, don't deal diamonds, and never ever go to Siberia. That seems to be all the message has to say.
There's also this really weird truncated timeline that started annoying me, if only because, like, I know this is really nitpicking, but he was in St. Petersburg, and then he goes to Siberia.
Yeah.
And back and forth, right? The only thing is, his life is in imminent danger.
Yeah.
He keeps bringing this up. But the flight from St. Petersburg to Siberia is like 8 hours.
And he says, I'll be back in 2 days.
Yeah.
And then he's back in, he's delayed anyway, so he's back in 3 or 4, if I'm correct. And then when he's back, he has a phone call with the guy who he told 2 days upon pain of death, who says, I'll see you tomorrow night. Not tonight, tomorrow night. I'm like, what? When is this movie? What is going on here?
Yeah, so there's this weird truncated timeline, which also doesn't work. And sure, if maybe you're not familiar with Russian geography, it doesn't really bother you, but something still felt off.
And after watching Mission Impossible Fallout with like the scenes making geographical sense,
perfect
playing in London.
Geographical sense.
Yeah, it's like, it is a bit odd. It is. It's like Canto Bight in The Last Jedi, where they just pop off. It ignores everything else. Don't set a running clock in your movie unless you're going to actually think about how long. It's like, oh, we've only got 24 hours to save the Earth. It's going to take a 16-hour flight. All right, we've only got 48 hours to save the Earth. You know, you just figure that out.
Siberia. I don't know what this movie is. We can't figure it out. It's just kind of there.
Mm.
Also, it just kind of ends.
Yeah.
There's something that happens at the end, and then the credits just start rolling, and in the screen I was watching it at, there were groans, and people just go, huh?
Yeah.
And like, that's it? And I was just laughing.
My notes were just what, with like the rest of the page filled with exclamation marks and question marks.
Yeah. But you know, if you happen to check it out, let us know what you think. I'm on at Umar Pagan.
I'm on at McNasty Prime.
You're listening to At The Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.